This show is a proud member of the Dice Tower Network, the Justice League of board game podcasts. Find out more at dicetower.com.
This episode of The Family Gamers is sponsored by the Wild East Game Company. You can go to wildeastgames.com/order to find all of the games that the Wild East Game Company has created. Whether you're looking for privateering rodents, some upset totems, or some electrified dice, the Wild East Game Company has the game for you. Check them out online at wildeastgames.com.
Another episode of the Family Gamers Podcast. This is episode 109.
You know what my favorite thing about 109 is?
It's an odd number, and so we have an interview?
Absolutely true.
Hooray!
I'm actually super excited for this interview because we have some really special guests on the show this week. This week, we have Karen Cleveland and Hannah Schauer of the Michigan Department of Natural Resources on the show. How are you today?
Just doing great.
Doing awesome.
Yeah, it's gearing up for peacing out for Labor Day weekend, I bet.
Oh, yeah.
So we're having you guys on the show because you guys have done something really, really cool, which is that you've put together a game.
Yes, we have.
Yeah. So you guys have actually put this it's, I guess it's more of a game system called What in the Wild, or when I'm talking to my children, I say, What in the Wild? That has, it's a bunch of different games, card games, that all have to do with I'm gonna guess wildlife in Michigan. Seems reasonable.
Well, it's wildlife in Michigan, but we wanted to make it so it's broad enough so that it can be wildlife in Ohio or Massachusetts or Indiana or Iowa. So it's species that are really kind of common across a lot of the eastern U.S. and some of them even to the western U.S.
So I have to ask this question. We'll start off with the very basics. What gave you the idea to make What in the Wild?
Well, it's kind of a combination of things. So I am designing games now for the wildlife division here at the DNR. And I had started my career here as a bird biologist and kind of stumbled across games and some of the serious games that were out there and made it a pitch to say, hey, this is something we should really be looking at as an outreach tool. And I work for kind of an awesome office, so they offered me a job making games. And when I came over into our outreach unit, Hannah was already here, and she's been working on classroom curriculums, and that was kind of a natural fit as to how can we use games. And so,
yeah, so we wanted to look at ways that we could engage the students maybe differently than we have in the past, to maybe be able to connect them a little bit better with some of our wildlife and habitats that we have here in the state and tie in with the curriculum that we have to then also give the teachers another tool that they can use in the classroom as well.
And part of the challenge on designing this was the curriculum that we're actually designing it for is for kindergarten through fifth grade. And you're probably familiar, kids in kindergarten and kids in fifth grade are very different kinds of kids.
Yes, we in fact have a fifth grader. As well as a second grader and a preschooler. So yes, we're well aware.
Yes, yeah. We're exactly
very
aware.
Familiar.
And so it's one of those things of like constraints make you more creative. This was one of the ones of can I make a single product that will work well across basically 5-year-olds all the way up to 10-year-olds. And so it seemed like a game system was really the direction to go because it can be that flexible.
Right. I mean, I think you've already answered our next question, which is essentially what are the goals for the game? I think that we've talked about that a little bit. But I want to talk about the game itself the cards that make up the game. So we will be posting a review of this on thefamilygamers.com. And one of the reasons why I want to make sure we do a full review is because the cards are really awesome. And I was really impressed with the level of design that was I don't know if I knew what I was expecting. But I was really impressed with like the iconography, I thought was really excellent. The way that you represented spaces, I thought was fascinating. I guess I'm curious. I mean, was it really just your two minds that put this whole thing together?
Oh no,
we are super lucky here. We have a graphic designer on staff named Chanel Anthony, and she is amazing. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't say enough positive things about basically the look of the game. In a large part, is Chanel's handiwork. Mm-hmm. That I had a rough prototype I've been working with. It had some of the basic layout elements. So we had the photos of the species and resources there. It had iconography on there. She redrew all the icons. I think we went through like four different versions of space icons over the development process because they all had shortcomings. Mm-hmm. And in fact, that space icon was a team effort between our web developer as well, who came up with a suggestion and basically said, well, what about like the Trivial Pursuit pie wedges?
That's exactly what it looks like. That's exactly what I was thinking. Yeah.
Yeah. And so she's the one who actually made it into something real. And it's so perfect. It works so much better than everything else that we tried before.
It's surprisingly intuitive. Like, you can go from one to five little wedges. And it's super easy to look at that and say, oh, small, you know, larger, medium, big, huge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really, really like them. So I don't know if you've heard the show before, but we've talked a little bit about my 7-year-old who has a freakish memory. Yeah, I played Matchett with him, and I won, and I just want you to know that I'm putting it on, like, the bulletin board. Like, this is bulletin board material that I won a game of What in the Wild Matchett with my 7-year-old. But the game, and I don't want to get too deep into the games because we have a limited amount of time, but I want to talk about Connect It, because I love this game. It is so cool. It's such a really, just like a really neat idea. And one of the things I really like, by the way, about all of the games in the rulebook is that you kind of give each one of them a little bit of a story, right? Even something as simple as, oh, it's a Magic game. Oh, you know, there's, you know, you're matching things that are generally the same species or the same resource type or whatever. Okay. You know, that's it. But you gave it a quick little story just to kind of give it a little bit of a hook for kids to get into it. And I appreciated that, but boy, oh boy. I love Connect It, and I would love to hear the story of how this became a game.
Connect It actually started in a completely different place. I was trying to riff off of games kids are going to be familiar with. And so kids know the memory game, kids know dominoes, kids, there's a certain games that kids will know. And so I was trying to come up with sort of like, how can I do dominoes in this game? And so this was sort of the riff on dominoes. That was a competitive game right up until about the last 2 weeks of development, when it turned into a cooperative game. And it basically, I brought it to a fifth grade classroom, and the teacher was play testing that for us. And one of the kids in the room was competing with the other ones. They were all sharing their cards and talking about where they could go. Nobody was hiding their hand of cards at all. Uh-huh. And as it's sort of like walking quietly around the room, not saying anything and taking notes, it's like everyone's sharing their cards. If that's what they want to do, maybe this game isn't a competitive game. And basically went back to my office and went, how do I make this a cooperative game? Mm-hmm. So it's got some of the same basic mechanics in it, but they want to play it as a team. Let's let them play it as a team. And so it was about 2 weeks of hardcore playtesting, when all the rest of the games were already finished and in good condition, to go, I have to completely rewrite this game from scratch. And it works so much better as a cooperative game than as a competitive game. And I'm really glad we got a chance to see that class of fifth graders actually trying to play this thing and go, wow, that doesn't work. And it could be so much better, and the kids know how it could be better.
Right.
Yes. That's amazing.
Right. It's that that ingenuity that you only get with kids, I guess. Yeah, I mean, I played it again with my 7-year-old, and it was just like that. The two of us were sort of sitting there and on opposite sides of the table, like, oh, well, what if I put this guy over here? And, oh, don't do that because I got to, you know, do this thing. And it was really entertaining. It was a lot of fun. And we sat back and we looked at it when we were done, and we're like, that's kind of an ecosystem. Like, it's kind of neat how you've sort of created this weird map of this sort of connected ecosystem. And yeah, A+, that game is awesome.
And we talked a little bit, and Hannah can talk about this, about how you could actually then tie the games back into the curriculum.
Right. So part of the curriculum, we really want kids to understand different habitat components like food, water, shelter space, what those animals or plants need to be able to survive. And so that was part of the kind of the driving idea here, was that we wanted to make those connections with what they're learning in the curriculum and see how it's all interconnected, and that you can't have one piece without the others. So a visual aid towards what they're learning in the curriculum to go along with that.
Mm-hmm. As someone who's played it and knows nothing about the curriculum, I think it does this system of games does well standing on its own, but I can definitely see how you would be able to tie it back into other, biology type science that kids are already learning.
Yeah, and one of the things we really wanted to do was not make a educational game per se, but to make a really fun game that can get tied back into the educational components.
Right.
I think we've all played educational games that you go, oh yeah, that's the pill you've got to swallow.
Right.
Versus, well, this is a fun game. Oh, I happen to learn something as well. And we want some of sort of that natural learning of just, well, you look at the card so frequently that you go outside and you're like, hey, that's a muskrat. I know that because I saw that in the game.
Right.
Yeah. Or part of the reason behind some of the photos of the resources that are in there was I wanted to make sure that we had a human footprint in all of our imagery, because it's too easy to think the forest is something that's far, far away that doesn't have people in it. And really, habitat is all around us. Mm-hmm. And so part of the goal here is to have kids and their parents be able to recognize that, well, yeah, that retention pond that's down at the mall that's got all those cattails, that's a wetland. And if you go down there, you're going to find dragonflies and you'll find red-winged blackbirds and you'll find other things that are flying around there.
Right.
Yeah, I really like that pretty much all of your shelter cards.
And space cards.
And a lot of the space cards have distinctly, human buildings and human scale features. You know, like I'm looking at Shelter Forest, which is a forest next to a road with a car on it.
Right. Right.
Yeah. So like the fun story behind the shelter cards is I was not finding good photos, and I was taking classes at Michigan State University at the time, and I kept walking onto campus every day, and I'm just frustrated. Where am I going to find these photos? And I stopped one day as I'm halfway to my class, and I'm like, well, there's Baker Wood Lot on that side of the road right there. And that's a picture of Baker Wood Lot. And I turn and look the other direction. I'm like, well, the power plant's over here next to this big field. So that's our grassland photo.
There you go.
Directly across the street is where I took the wetland photo. And so all of that is basically on one intersection corner at the Michigan State University campus.
That's funny.
That's fantastic.
So let's talk a little bit about we talked a little bit about kind of the goals of this in terms of it being used and potentially integrated into a curriculum, but what are your, beyond your wildest dreams perhaps, what are your goals for What in the Wild specifically? Obviously, there's some kind of component where you want this to be in a school context, but what about outside of a school context?
That's something we actually would love for this to be that thing that helps to kind of crack the awareness and the enjoyment of nature, mm-hmm. by families, well, not just across Michigan, but kind of across the country. I mean, that's our wildest dreams. Right. There's going to be little kids across all of North America playing our games. That's a wildest dreams. But there's a serious problem right now. We've got a disconnect with nature, with families and with kids. The last couple of generations, we just sort of have watched that happen. And we'd really like to see this being used as something that makes it more comfortable for adults that may not be particularly nature savvy to be able to show their kids, oh, hey, there's something that we recognize from playing the game, and to get kids to realize that nature isn't scary. If you can sometimes put names on things, it makes it a little bit more inviting. The fifth grade teacher that we play tested with said that he'd brought his prototype deck home and he played it with his son the night before they did in class. And after they finished playing the game, they took the cards outside and walked through their yard to see what they could find in their yard that was on a card in the game. And that's the kind of dynamic we'd love to hear about.
Cool.
That's wonderful. Yeah.
So we talked about, obviously, families playing the game. And, of course, while you were talking about that, I was thinking of, like, we have a lot of friends who homeschool. And, I mean, this is certainly a fantastic option for something like that. So let's talk about where you can get a hold of this. Now, I don't know. Is this available now? I know it'll be available soon.
This should be available at the end of this week. We're finishing the last of the graphics that we need to put on the store site. But once this is available, this is going to be available through thegamecrafter.com. Mm-hmm. And we're going to basically be selling the standard deck so that if you just want to play with your family, get a standard deck, you're good to go. But we're also going to be selling a classroom pack that's got five decks in it so that teachers in a larger classroom can basically buy one product and deploy it across their entire class. And because we know some people's budgets are limited, we're going to do a print and play version as well.
Oh, cool. Awesome.
Cool.
So for people going to the Game Crafter, do you have a link that would be easy for them to remember? Or should I just include it in the show notes? That's something we could do as well.
It will make sense when you look at it, but it's annoying because it has hyphens in it.
Okay. How about this? Why don't you send us the link and we'll include it in the show notes for the episode?
Yes.
We can do that.
Yeah, that'll be the easiest way to do that. And how much is the family deck going to be?
It's going to be $27.99.
All right.
And so one of the fun things that's about this is because we are tying it into our curriculum and we really want to kind of get the word out there. Any of the money that we make from selling this game, we're just going to use to buy more games that we can get to teachers for free because we want to get it in as many classrooms as we can.
That is super, super
absolutely.
Cool.
That's awesome.
Yes. And just in case there are any teachers listening, the curriculum is available. They can register for it now, and it is available for formal, non-formal educators, homeschools included. So the curriculum is available, and you can find that at mi.gov/DNR education.
There you go.
Fantastic.
So that one should be a little easier to remember.
And I can say, by looking at these cards, that Michigan wildlife is pretty similar to what we have in Massachusetts. So certainly it's suitable for our area. Well, listen, ladies, thank you so much for coming on the show and talking about the game. We've had a blast with it so far. I know we're going to play it some more, and we really look forward to sharing it with our listeners and with our readers on our website.
Well, thanks for having us on. It's great to hear you guys are enjoying it.
Yes, thank you so much.
So, Karen and Hannah, where can people find you online if they would like to get a hold of you?
That's a good question. Yeah. Probably the DNR website would be a good place to start. So mi.gov/DNR is pretty easy. There's a contact us button at the top, and then you can find the Wildlife Division's direct contact number under there. And so we've got a Wildlife Division email address as well as kind of a main phone line, and any of those can get directed directly to us. So that would probably be the easiest way to go about it.
Awesome.
All right. Fantastic.
All right. Well, is there anything else that you would like to get out on the podcast before we let you go?
Well, other than I hope everybody enjoys it.
Yeah, have fun with it.
Yeah. We had fun making it. It would be great if everybody has fun playing it.
Awesome. Yeah. All right, well, thank you very much. You guys have a wonderful, wonderful Labor Day weekend.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
You too.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.